Hour number two, Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. He's Big Joe Dubin. I'm Chase McCabe on this Friday. Hope you're having an awesome day so far. Titans and Texans this weekend. Actually, the Oilers and Texans this weekend. Let's bring in forever Oilers and Titans wide receiver Chris Sanders, who is on the line with us. Chris, good morning. What's up?
Man, good. How y'all doing this morning? It's always good to hear y'all's voice. I love this show. And, you know, just like I say it every time, man, I appreciate you guys. You guys are awesome.
Absolutely, and we appreciate you doing two hits with us this week. We always
love it. Absolutely,
two games in 1 week. I mean, it's what we got to have double Chris. So that's what we had to do.
My pleasure, man.
The Texans. It's looking like C.J. Stroud is not going to play. It's going to be Davis Mills. The Titans got a little pep in their step after the win Monday night in Miami, and the guys in that locker room, they're not looking at draft order. They're not looking at all of that stuff. It's just – it's about pride at this point. What can stringing a couple of wins together do for the young core, namely Will Levis, as they move forward?
I mean, I think it'll send a good message for next year. I mean, I know you're not playing for next year now, but you will go into the offseason knowing that you got a quarterback, knowing that you got some things that you can improve on. But just watching the game last week, man, this is what the difference between the whole game last week is, the energy that was on the sidelines. I mean, if you look at a couple of games before that, there was no energy, there was no enthusiasm, guys wasn't hustling. Then you look at the Miami game, to where you got Landry with three sacks, you got the defense flying around, you got a secondary that's, you know, covering what those big-time wide receivers. So, you know, when you talk about next year, that stuff can roll over to next year, and you can build off that with your quarterback.
You kind of brought this up yesterday. We had this little debate before Silly Underdogs with Treylon Burks, and you know, D-Mace has been very passionate. And I understand what he's saying, that there's talent there, and they got to tap the talent. My thing is, and you said it perfectly, I watch him and I don't feel like he has that dog in him. And that is the big thing with me. He doesn't have that dog in him. And that's what concerns me, because I don't think you can teach that.
Yeah, you can't teach that. And I want the listeners to really understand, when we say dog, it's not about throwing chairs and, you know, talking about somebody's mama. Or it's not about screaming at a coach or, you know, acting belligerent. That's not having a dog in you. Having a dog is when you got to go across the middle and you're going to get hit by safety, and you take the hit up and you get up and say, you know, I want some more. Or you got a linebacker where,
like,
you run.
That's all you got? That's all you got?
Right there. That's all you got. Now, and I know this. I'm going to talk about this guy. His name is Steve Smith. Steve Smith is going to be a Hall of Famer. He's a semifinalist right now. He's about 5'3". He still needs a booster seat. But when he gets on that field, he will tear your head off. That's what I'm talking about being a dog. It's not about how loud you are, how loud you scream, disrespecting coaches. No, that's not dog. That's being an idiot. But when you run a slant, and you have to catch the ball in the window, and you know that the safety is going to hit you in your mouth, you're going to catch it anyway, and you jump and say, man, dude, is that all you got? That's what being a dog is.
That's the same thing Rocky did to Clubber Lang, man, in Rocky III.
What did he say? He said, I ain't going down no more. That's my
favorite.
Is
that all you got?
Yeah.
That ain't nothing, yeah.
He said, you ain't bad. You ain't nothing. Come on, man, I know Rocky.
Exactly. Rocky III's fat. All Rockies are great, but battle
Rocky
Clubber Lang.
My best, though.
Rocky IV?
Why? Rocky IV? I think Rocky IV is better than Rocky III.
The Clubber Lang.
It's about overcoming the first, because when he said, if he dies, he dies.
Yep.
Oh, best. Okay, go ahead.
All right, no. all right, so Chase and I were in Miami for the game, for the big win, and when Vrabel came in to speak to the press, it was so loud in the locker room, you almost couldn't hear Vrabel. I want to ask you, what's the biggest locker room celebration you've ever been a part of in the NFL? Was it beating Jacksonville down there to go to the Super Bowl?
It was the Music City Miracle.
Ooh.
When I tell you, you get emotional about this thing. When I tell you, when we walked off the field, when we got in that locker room, the joy on everybody's face, everybody's hugging, everybody's high-fiving. We stayed in that locker room for about an hour afterwards, because we didn't want to lose that sense of emotion. Because I'm going to tell you, it's something special. I know when we went to the Super Bowl, we beat Jacksonville. That was great. I mean, that was fun. But when we walked in the locker room after that Music City Miracle, and everybody sat at their locker and everybody screaming, you seen grown men crying. You see Javon Kurtz, you know, laughing and joking. You see Steve McNair, you know, almost in tears. That was the loudest it's ever been. We had the Music City Miracle.
Let me ask you this real quick, Chris.
Sure, sure.
Because, and I know that it was different because that was the postseason, and you obviously you're trying to get to the Super Bowl. But you guys could have very easily gotten caught up in that moment of how you won that game and gone to Indy the next week, and a second year or second year Peyton Manning could have beaten you. That didn't happen. So when I look at the Titans and they win an emotional game on a Monday night, what is the message of, hey, this was great, guys, but now we got to put it in the rearview mirror. We got to focus on Houston just like you guys did and put Buffalo in the rearview mirror and focused on Indy?
You know, it started with your leaders. And the funny thing that you say, that after we had, you know, the Music City Miracle, this is what Eddie George, this is what Steve Miller said. They said, we ain't finished. And when he said that, I mean, chills go through your body. Yeah. You know, Jeff Fisher said the exact same thing. He said, yeah, we had something special happen here, but we ain't finished. And then when we went to Indianapolis and we won in Indy, it was the same message. Jeff Fisher gets us up there. Eddie George gets up there. Steve McNair gets up there. You know, your leaders of the team say, you know, I understand at the moment that we won something, we did something big, but we ain't finished. And I think that this locker room, you know, now they got to have that same attitude. Yeah, we beat Miami. Yeah, we went down there. You know, all the odds were against us. All those things are great, but we ain't finished. I know there's a slim chance of them making the playoffs, but you never know what might happen. You win a string of wins and win the rest of your games. Let the chips where they fall. But the one thing you got to understand, your leaders in that locker room have to say, we ain't finished, and that's exactly what they need.
You know, Chris, we watched the video, and we remember Steve McNair, cool, calm, and collected on the field. Gosh. He ever dog cuss you?
He didn't dog cuss. He gave me a look, though, a couple of times, and I was scared. You know, like, okay, Steve. But here's the thing. Steve McNair really didn't have to yell. He just, with his work ethic and with him giving his body on the field, you wanted to make it work. So if he says, Chris, I need you to take an outside release from cover two, or if it's cover three, I need you to come back to the ball because there's going to be somebody taking away the window, you know, if you're running the curl route, he would just say those things. He never was a guy that's going to cuss you out and yell at you and scream at you. He just had that look like, hey, dog, we got to get it done. And you just knew that, you know, if he looked at you that way, you're going to go out there and give 110%.
I'm a big fan of the 49ers back in the 80s when they won all the Super Bowls. And a common theme on that team was they didn't want to let Joe Montana down.
Oh my God!
Was that the same feeling you guys had for McNair?
That's exactly what it was, because I remember we were playing the Pittsburgh Steelers, right? And you watch that Steve McNair, he's running and his ankles hurt, his sternum's, you know, broken, and I mean, you know, he can barely walk. But then you watch this guy get a ball and jump over three or four guys to get in the end zone. So when you see your leader, your guy that's out there laying it on the line, it just made you want to lay it on the line. That means Steve McNair throws a ball and I have to jump over five people to get it, I'm going to do it because I don't want to let my team down. And that was just the expectation. That was just the mojo that we had in practice. I mean, when you practice against Blaine Bishop, you know Marcus Robinson and all those guys, and go up and catch the ball, and you make it in practice, that means Steven is going to trust you again because you're going to lay it on the line just like he laid it on the line.
Give me your thoughts. I'm talking about the current team, and I know speed is so wonderful when you see it in a guy, especially on the football field. Tajay Spears, you know, when he got drafted, like, well, he doesn't have his a kneecap, whatever the heck he was, ACL, whatever. But to see him change the pace, Chris, and him get that first down Monday night when they needed 10, he got him 11. What does that guy bring to this football team from your perspective as a coach watching what he does?
He brings explosiveness. And the reason why I love what he does is because he's one of those guys that makes something out of nothing. I mean, because you look at some of those plays at Monday night, you look at some of the plays in the past weeks, he'll catch a pass and it looks like he's tackled, and next you know he gets that first down. And when you have a guy like that that's still a rookie, but all of a sudden your offensive coordinator, Kim Kelly, starts to trust you, your quarterback, Will Levis, starts to trust you, you got Derrick Henry to trust you also, you're going to build confidence around that whole team because you're a rookie and they're looking to you to make plays. I love what he does. I know he has half of a knee or, you know, half a cartilage. I don't know what he has, but he brings a different gear. He brings a different attitude. He brings a sense of funness, because if you look at last week, he was mic'd up, and you got the listeners got a chance to see behind the scenes how this guy acts. This guy's funny. This guy brings energy. This guy brings laughter, and those are the cats that you want to definitely be around.
Yeah, 100%. Does he remind you of anybody?
He reminds me of a taller Derek Mason.
Okay.
That's what it is. you know, I got to throw. I hope he's listening because he's being me a silly dog on the pick. That's why I said it. Oh. But he reminds me of Derek that's consistently energetic. And I'm not being disrespectful. I love Derek's my dude. But Derek brings the energy. Derek is funny. He brings that silliness, that goofiness. But when he gets on the field, he's going to run through your face. And that's who Tajay Spears reminds me of.
As a player, when you were in the league, when you played another team, was there one guy I'm thinking about? Barry Sanders, where you watched him and like, oh my gosh, is this guy for real?
Oh, it was two guys. It was Jerry Rice and Deion Sanders. For the first time I saw Jerry Rice, I mean, I couldn't even warm up. I'm looking at him because I'm like, dang. I mean, because that's Jerry Rice. That's the Jerry Rice, the GOAT, the greatest of all times. So when I walked out of the locker room and I saw him, I mean, I was just like, this dude right here, I watch how he warmed up. I watch how he's drinking. Seriously, and this is a true story. I watch how he was drinking his water. I watch how he was tying his shoes because I wanted to be like that dude. And then there's another guy that when I first saw him and I played against him was Deion Sanders. And when I played against Deion Sanders, this is a funny story. But when I first played against him, he's like, man, he said, hey, man, I like your last name. I said, yeah, I like yours too. So then Deion Sanders asked me this. He said, Chris, hey, is it going to be a run? I'm like, I'm going to tell you that's going to be a run or not. No, I'm not telling you so I can get yelled out on film. So that was the first interaction that I had with him. But just actually being on the field with Jerry Rice and Deion Sanders, it was something that I've always dreamt about in that dream come true.
Well, good stuff as always, Chris. We'll see what happens this weekend with the Oilers and the Texans. Should be fun as they wear the Oilers throwbacks. But have a great weekend. We'll talk. We'll talk next week.
Love you guys, brother. Y'all take care.
You too, my friend. Chris Sanders joining us here on the program. He'll also be a part of the NFL pregame show, which will take place
award-winning
NFL pregame show. The trophy's somewhere. It was in here.
Put it behind you?
Oh, okay. There it is. Yep. It has my name on it. But join Jared Stillman, Chris Sanders, and Derek Mason at Teddy's Tavern this Sunday from 9:30 to 11:30 for NFL pregame as they break down the Titans' Week 15 matchup against the Texans and give you the latest updates before the game. NFL pregame is presented by Parman Tractor and Equipment and the Beast Unleashed. 102.5, 106.3, the game.